Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson and Gloria Wells, moderating our chat room. And we're your hosts this morning as we continue our wonderful book study of The Secret Power of Words, Manifesting What You Say by our own precious Dr. Reggie. Good morning, Dr. Reggie.
Good morning, Cynthia. Thank you for the lovely introduction. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, wow. Well, we are so honored to be doing this book study and having you here to break things down for us.
Absolutely.
That's such a treat for us. Today is going to be a great lesson because we're going to go into actually blessing and cursing. You know, the Bible tells us that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. And I'm sure that this chapter is really going to get into how to bless. And we don't really want to curse anyone, but to be aware of the power of cursing as well. Not that we want to do that, but to so that we're aware. I love your quote at the beginning of the book, which I think I misread yesterday. I mean, the beginning of this chapter, and I want to reread it again. It says, "No man means all he says, and yet very few say all they mean, for words are slippery and thought is viscous." And viscous means that it's liquid, you know, kind of thick and it's slick. This was a quote by Henry Brooks Adams, and I think I misread that as vicious yesterday, and that thought is vicious, but no, thought is viscous. So I wanted to correct that. So, Dr. Reggie, I just love how you have the beginning of this chapter and how you've laid it out, and in particular, and I know I just lost you. I just lost Dr. Reggie. Oh, okay. We're having some problems this morning. He'll call us back. Anyway, I really love the way he laid this first chapter out. And what in particular I like is that the title of the chapter is called The Broadcaster of the Unformed Universe. In other words, our words bring form to the unformed. And he goes on to say, there you are. And thank you, Dr. Reggie. And so what he did is he laid out how we can get a clear channel for our broadcast and what blocks that channel and how to activate that channel. And then we covered all of that in chapter one, and now we're going into, once we have this clear channel and we know how to activate it, then we need to know what we can do with it. And now he's moving into how we can create blessings or we can create negative experiences with our tongue. So Dr. Reggie, you want to go ahead and take us into our morning prayer.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we stay still and breathe, and realize you in us as the creator of everything, and not we of ourselves. Let us lose the egoic self and learn to float in the comfort and the assurance and the protection and the love of your loving arms. We thank you for people who come to us to give us messages. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who reigns supreme in the universe and in all galaxies, everywhere, to protect us, that some of those energies bless us and keep us here, the invisible forces of angels and ascended masters. We're thankful for the power of words to charge and take hold, and words have great strength to uplift and encourage. Let us always use the power of our own words to walk in the light and to stay steadfast in our faith and in our truth. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. So, the tongue and every word we speak contains the power of life or death. Words have the power to bring life and blessing, or to bring death and cursing through the energy that they contain. Our intention is paramount, because while people notice our outward action, God looks on the heart. Sometimes our intention and inward motives are more important than what we actually say or do. It is intention that gives words their power. Intention is the inward motive or the energy behind the thought or word. And words combined with love, wisdom, divine inspiration are like apples of gold on trays of silver. Offered to a weary hearer, they become beautiful, living hope, bearing morsels that nourish the soul. And by the same token, when words are combined with hatred and jealousy or selfish motives, they are like the fig tree that was cursed and withered. They have the ability to bring death or discouragement and even despair to the hearer. So which would you have rather be spoken to you? The blessing or the curse? So let's talk about the benediction. I mean, you have attended a church service where the minister pronounced a benediction or a blessing at the end. It may go something like, "May God bless and keep you," etc., etc., etc. So blessings and curses are prayers that are spoken over another person or a place or a thing. And most people don't believe these words actually mean or even do anything. But in reality, our words do confer blessing or cursing. These prayers are a compilation of precisely structured and arranged words. So the benediction to bless can be very poetic and artistic and very eloquently presented at special occasions, such as at a bar mitzvah or graduation ceremony or even a wedding. A wicked incantation may be presented in tribal countries that use an evil form of voodoo to combat enemies. I am not saying that all tribal nations who practice voodoo intend harm to others. There is such a thing as good voodoo, witchcraft, and spells that are beneficial. But on the other hand, I have been in Christian prayer circles that placed a curse on another person because the words spoken violated their free will and asked God to bring about hardship or sickness that would make that person repent of their sins. Blessing and cursing does not have to be a formal petition to God conducted during a ceremony or spoken directly over another person. It can be something as simple as an email. I'm referring to those little nutty emails that have a wonderful blessing in them. But then as you scroll through, there's a message such as, if you don't send this to at least 5 people in 5 minutes, you are going to have bad luck for years. Now, let me remind you that a blessing should never threaten you with a curse. Those emails that curse you, if you don't respond, are the lowest form of spiritual bribery. They are a manipulative way to get you to do something by using fear tactics. Whenever you get one of those emails, just delete it. If you feel you must forward it, then at least cut and remove the curse before you send it. I have never responded to this type of email, and I have had extremely good luck. I believe that a message or blessing in the kingdom will always reach you when you need it. I do too, Dr. Reggie. So let's talk about a formal blessing. Speaking a blessing over someone was a very common practice in the early Jewish people. They believed that when God blessed something, he gave it life. And when he cursed something, it died. However, a simple observation of someone or their situation is not an indication as to whether they have been blessed or cursed. When people have sickness or hardship, it does not mean that they are cursed. By the same token, if someone is well and prosperous, it does not mean that God has blessed or favored them. As you will read in chapter 10, experiencing difficult circumstances in life shows one of two things: that the person decided before incarnating to learn his or her lessons through difficulty, or that the person is not aware of the law of attraction and is manifesting by default. You may be familiar with the story of Esau and Jacob in the 28th chapter of Genesis in the Old Testament of the Bible. They were twin brothers, only minutes apart to Isaac and Rebekah. The blessing of the birthright belonged to the firstborn, Esau. But Rebekah wanted her favorite son, Jacob, to have it. So she devised a plan and disguised him as the older brother and sent him to his father with his favorite meal. And Isaac was old and blind and didn't realize that he had blessed the wrong son until later when Esau came in expecting to receive the blessing. Even though it was gained by trickery, the blessing of the firstborn held power and came true. Some blessings and curses may not be so consciously presented. They can be given without even being aware of it. When you are talking about someone with another person, and one of you says something like, I hope it all works out well for her. She is a wonderful person, and I'd like to see her really prosper. Do you realize that you just blessed that person without their knowledge? And on the flip side of the coin, cursing can be done in the same manner while standing in a checkout line at the grocery store or driving in traffic. I'm not talking about using profanity, but about the cursing of others with words and thoughts that throws an energetic slander and hatred towards them. Anytime you speak or wish evil, harm, or ruin to another person, you are actually cursing them. Doesn't everyone have enough stress without sending these poison darts? But they have cursed me, you might defend. That's all the more reason to bless them. Jesus taught his disciples to bless those that curse you, even your enemies. Doing so transmutes the harmful energy to beneficial energy for both the receiver and the sender. And that's powerful. So here is a blessing from Elon Michael that shows true humility and forgiveness while acknowledging the wrongful behavior of the perceived enemy. The prayer still recognizes our oneness in God, and it's the prayer for the white man. And it goes like this. And now, Grandfather, I ask you to bless the white man. He needs your wisdom, your guidance. You see, for so long he has tried to destroy my people and only feels comfortable when given power. Bless them. Show them the peace we understand. Teach them humility. For I fear they will someday destroy themselves and their children as they have done so, Mother Earth. I plead. I cry. After all, they are my brothers. What a gentle prayer. What a gentle, humble prayer. So the Bible, and Dr. Reggie goes on to talk about his experience with being scared. He says, the Bible used to scare me half to death when I was a teenager because I knew that God's righteousness condemned sinners. And I understood as humans, we were under divine condemnation because each has rejected the revelation of God through salvation in Christ. So essentially, we were cursed if we were not under the umbrella of a fire insurance policy against going to hell. But as I look back retrospectively, I realize that it didn't help growing up in a strict Methodist environment and later to an AME church. My deeper revelations in God caused me to realize that hell is simply a state of consciousness that we create. Common sense dictates that if the kingdom of heaven is within, then hell is also a state of consciousness. And so I read a Christian novel once about a woman who went to hell and experienced these horrible events. But how does she come back to earth and write about it? It must have been an astral or an out-of-body event for her individual experience. You know, I recall one associate minister who used to get so passionate about his sermon delivery about the trip to hell. I thought to myself, oh my God. One day, he's going to have a heart attack if he keeps this up. And guess what? He had a heart attack while I was sitting in the front row. I saw him pass out in the middle of his sermon, and I sat there stunned because it just crossed my mind the week before, and I did not say it aloud, only in my mind. Although I was not aware of the dynamic principles of thought and speech at that time, I felt some connection in what I said and what happened to Reverend Lewis. Were my words that powerful that I had cursed him? The heart attack didn't kill him, thank God. But he left the church for a long time before preaching again. Needless to say, I left church in Washington, D.C. and moved to a galaxy far, far away. I moved to Los Angeles. I do not believe my words caused the problem that he experienced. But the mental thought atmosphere is a dream state, and it precedes outer action. And so from that point on, I stayed in prayer. I was made the official spiritual advisor for a radio station in San Bernardino, California, a few years after relocating to California. And I visited the studio on occasion to answer a few questions from live callers and sometimes in studio guests. And one of the show's hosts, this female disc jockey asked me to read her on the air. And so I did as she requested. And I made a comment about her having a baby. I had a hunch she did not believe me because she had surgery to prevent a baby from entering the world. I gave her a look of total confidence and said, although you are in your late 30s and you believe it is physically impossible, I know you will have a baby girl. And she looked at me doubtfully, but tried to clothe herself with an air of confidence and doubt the benefit of the listening audience in what I was telling her. But when I was leaving the studio, this Bible passage hit me so hard. It said, life and death are in the tongue. And that comes from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. And so last year, I received a phone call from that same radio DJ who told me she was pregnant and having a baby girl and that she was in complete shock because it was impossible for her to get pregnant. Her child was waiting to be born, and I saw her and spoke her into this reality with faith in the higher power who made everything there is. And so now here she is at 38 years old, and she apologized on the air for not believing in what she desired in her heart. Every phone in that radio station lit up when she announced that I was there. You know, the funny thing is that it's a hard rock, a male-dominated listening audience, and grown men called in after their quick session, then they were crying on the airwaves because God is, and that's all there is, period. God is. You know, you may recall the story of how Jesus cursed a fig tree. It says that on the morrow, this comes from the story is related in Matthew and Mark. On the morrow, when they had come out of Bethany, he hungered, meaning Jesus hungered. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season of figs. And he answered and said unto it, no man will eat fruit from you from now on forever. And his disciples heard it. And as they passed by in the morning, which is the next day, they saw the fig tree withered away from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. So the followers, these disciples of Christ, understood the power of words, and for their benefit, Jesus was always giving them a lesson. In the above reference passage, Christ did not curse the tree as an act of intolerance. As an ascended master and a son of God, he was hungry and told the tree so. And he indicated that since the leaves came first without fruit, no one would ever eat from the tree again. His disciples listened carefully. They were hanging on to every word. Jesus demonstrated the power of words. Some people will judge this decision and think that the supernatural power of Christ was wasted on a vulgar demonstration before the disciples. However, Christ knew that he had and we have authority and dominion over all creation. There are plenty of other stories about the life of Jesus that are undocumented that will fill large volumes if they were to be printed. Other manuscripts, such as the Book of Thomas, have been found that show even more mysteries of the secret doctrines of Christ. What we now call the scriptures contained in the Bible are only part of what have been written about Jesus Christ. Many people do not realize that some accounts of his life were omitted from ancient texts by the Nicene Council for the purpose of regulating the church and the government under one belief system during the reign of Constantine. But in reading any text or hearing any message, be sure to listen. Listen to the voice of God within, to be sure that what is being presented resonates with your spirit. I just, you know, that story of Jesus cursing the fig tree hit. Growing up, I can remember the first time I heard that story, it frightened me. It frightened me. Because at that point, you know, I was, as a child, it was, could I fall into being cursed that way? Was it possible that the life could just be sucked out of me? And I'm so glad that Dr. Reggie really emphasizes that Jesus made that demonstration to teach the disciples the power of our words. How many of you have been listening to things that come out of your mouth and people that you're around every day, just listening to what they're saying? How many of you? And making note, I'm just really curious. Okay. So the last portion of this chapter is about binding and loosing. I mention binding and loosing here because it has to do with blessing and cursing. I want to remind you that words spoken on earth have an effect in other realms of the universe. In Matthew 16, verse 19 through 20, Jesus said, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Binding, restraining, which means restraining and holding back, or spiritual handcuffing. And loosing means allowing or setting free, may be applied to anything or anyone. Having God and Goddess as our divine parents, we are born with the power to invoke their assistance to bind all forces of darkness on earth and in ourselves and others, as well as to set free or loosen captives. These are laws. These are commands that we may execute via our free will. We have the power to bless people and send the light of love to them physically and remotely, as well as to curse, which is to negatively influence them. So in Wicca, there is a statement of the same nature. It says, "As above, so below. Whatever's in heaven is going to be on earth. Whatever we bind or loose on earth is also bound and loosed in heaven." I believe binding and loosing also has to do with granting karmic grace, as Jesus did when he forgave the sins or the errors of others. When we forgive, we set people free, including ourselves, as well as the offender. When people forgive, they loose themselves from the karmic debt of others. Forgiveness is so important. We've had several lessons on forgiveness, but it's so important. And, you know, the more I teach on forgiveness, the more I realize that I've grown in my understanding of forgiveness. And because it's not about the other person, you know, we can say, "Oh, I forgive you," meaning I recognize coming from the space of saying, I recognize that you did something bad to me, and it's okay. I forgive you. Like, you did something wrong, and I'm just being nice, and I will forgive you. Okay, that's not true forgiveness. And the forgiveness has to be complete. You have to release any resentment at there. It's all for you. The forgiveness is for you to totally let release the experience. There's no resentment. There's no anger. There's no ego. I'm better than you because I'm bigger than you because I'm more humble. I can have the humility to forgive you. No, that's just the first half. If you're coming from that place, that's not the intention of forgiveness. The intention of forgiveness is to completely let it go in love. In love. And the healing is really for you, not the other person. It's really for you. Can you see why? Because if you hold on to the anger, if you hold on to the resentment, it only hurts you. So you really have to say, I forgive myself for these feelings, and I forgive this person and release and let them go. Jesus was on the cross and dying. He could not take that in. He couldn't take anger with him that these people treated him this way. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. And you know what? When you are so into your spiritual development and you're into the studies that we have conducted here on Circles of Prosperity, you recognize that there is a bigger picture than your feelings getting hurt. It's really about you growing spiritually and expressing nothing but total love. And you begin to recognize that whatever this person has done to you, you know that it's an error of judgment on their part because they are not spiritually aware. And therefore, what's happening? They're operating out of fear. If they steal from you, it's because they're afraid that they won't have enough. It's out of fear. Or it could be out of anger. You have this and I want it, and so I'm going to take it because there's no way out for me to get it. So I'll just steal it. But you need to be so spiritually developed that you can recognize their motivations are out of fear. And it's an error in judgment. Forgiveness is extremely powerful. Dr. Reggie goes on to say that I am always amazed that the multiple meanings attached to English words, because in the case of binding and loosing, these words can mean the same thing since they share similar meanings. And here, let me explain this. Most people think of binding as the act of restraining or controlling something. And some may pray that the powers of evil be bound. And loosing is generally referred to as unwrapping or exposing or setting something free, such as releasing a bird from its cage. However, binding can also be used positively, to secure or to wrap or to embrace something good. So with this principle, you could envision yourself being securely bound to love and kindness, if you wish, to attract those virtues to yourself. But by the same token, the principle of loosing can mean to divide or to separate from. And you could use the principle of loosing in this manner for removing or separating yourself from limiting or negative patterns of thinking. Binding and loosing is a simple matter of perspective. Bind your inner kingdom to heaven within yourself. Your inner mind has many dimensions, and you can make it a wonderland of spiritual bliss, or you can make it a prison. It is your mind, and only you can control it. And you control it with your inner speech. So bind your inner Christ within by saying to yourself what Jesus said, the Father and I are one. The Father and I are one. And when he invoked healing power, he said what? The Father within doeth the work. The Father within doeth the work. He was so clear that his Christ blueprint is our lesson as well as our blessing. So bind yourself to the energy of God that is within you, and loose yourself from bondage. That bondage of fear, that bondage of doubt, that bondage of low self-esteem, questioning your self-worth, loose yourself from it. I don't think we stop to think about it when we're speaking over our children, and I've said this to you before. Your children can make some bad decisions, because they're learning. This is their path for their spiritual development. You should be speaking blessings over them. You know, a lot of times they make an error and we just want to turn our backs on our kids. Even though you may not reach out to help them, bless them. Speak a blessing over them. Don't talk about how crazy they are or how they'll never amount to anything. Don't say that to your children. Say, you may acknowledge, hey, I know that you've made an error, but I know inside of you there is goodness and wisdom, and I see you doing great things. Great things. We hit a bump in the road here, but let's move on. I declare and decree great things in your life. It hurts my heart when I hear a mother saying, you're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. Or a father out of anger, your life will never mean anything. It's a horrible thing. Do you realize that they have cursed their child? Because what happens? That child then begins to believe that and acts out upon it. They feel rejected and unloved. Let's bring this back to some things that are going on today, these principles that are going on right now. You know, I always talk about our economy, because how many people right now are listening to or have people in their circle that are telling you that there are no jobs, or that the economy is bad, or your business can't prosper because the economy is bad, or this is a bad time for you to open your business, or this is a bad time for you to launch something because the economy is bad. Words, words, words that have power, power, power. Is that your reality? Are you going to allow others to create your reality for you? Or are you going to take up the power that God has given you and create your reality? And here's the thing. You know, there are people right now who have great jobs, who found great jobs despite this economy. Most of the huge fortunes that were made in our history in the United States were made during the Great Depression, because some people had the courage not to believe what they were seeing and what the newspaper was telling them. They saw opportunity and they created that and moved forward into it. So you can be, there are people right now making a lot of money. Hey, we hear about it, the top 1%, despite all the trouble in the economy, they are still making money. And why do you think that is? Because they can, all they see is that they're going to make money. So you have some choices to make now, how you will create your life. And my suggestion is to try something small. Try to manifest something small that you know you can. It won't be difficult for you imagine that you have it. Remember how I told you the story of I said I wanted to make enough money to get my benefits through the Screen Actors Guild, and that's all I kept repeating over and over. That was what I was willing to receive at that time, and I manifested just that, enough money. I got a job making just enough money as an actress to get my benefits through the Screen Actors Guild. And years later, I said, why didn't I ask for more? Practice on something small. Practice on something that you really desire and see how it manifests for you. Your words have power. Okay, Dr. Reggie, we have about 3 minutes to go. Did I cover this lesson?
I think you did a very beautiful job. And I love when you say manifest something small, because when I first met you, remember how people would always give me stuff?
Cup of coffee.
Free cup of coffee. I love coffee. So they would give me free coffee all the time, no matter where I went, to Starbucks or wherever. And really interesting, or a free dinner or a free meal or whatever. Not I didn't have money. I had money, but they wanted to give. The energy was on me. The prayer energy, the light quotient was on me. I believed it, and it always happened. Even with Cynthia, sometimes she received the blessings as well because of that. So when you do that, it's a very powerful energy to try the law of abundance and the law of attraction and the law of forgiveness and the law of prayer and the law of love. It all matches. And when you do that, things are magnetized to you as a soul.
Mm.
And that's the way it is. You're living your truth. And not listening to all the stuff that poison that people sometimes put in your head, or the poison that's on the news.
You have to turn it off.
And have to live your truth, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the power.
And I will say this. It takes practice, practice, practice.
Mm-hmm.
And more, if you don't make that first step to put these principles into action, you will never grow. So you need to practice. One of our callers said, this takes a lot of work. It's not that much work. I mean, let your words work. If you believe that your words have power, that's what I'm asking you to believe, and then let them do the work. You don't have to work at it. We have 5 seconds. You take us to our closing prayer.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful lesson, and thank you for the power to write these lessons and the power to give wonderful power to other people to help them. I do see someone who had an abortion, and I pray for them to know that you have forgiven them, but let them forgive themselves for the abortion or the miscarriage or whatever it is, that life is coming back to them again. A person is looking for money right now. They're worried about a J-O-B. Bring that to them, because they don't understand they have it in them already. Just start a new practice or start a new thing that they need to do to bring themselves financial reward. Give them the power to do so. A person is looking for love and romance right now, and you have that person on the horizon coming into their life, and they don't always see it. But let them see it and feel it and know that you're always the answer to everything. Everything. When there's doubt, you bring light on that. I believe this is so for this lesson, and for everyone listening, there's a power of love and abundance. and a circle of prosperity. And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Oh, my goodness. I love you guys so much. Remember, tomorrow is Oracle Friday. We don't have a special guest tomorrow, but Dr. Reggie will be here. And we're going to be reading from our Oracle book. So call in for your special message. God bless.